The hot days upon us now, 107 in Redding today, remind us that fire season is inevitable in our region. The Oregon Department of Forestry declared the start of fire season on state-protected lands on June 1st. Even before that, other state agencies in Oregon were talking about fire season preparations. We may groan a bit, but groaning now beats sharper expressions if a fire comes up on us unprepared later. Let's talk about getting ready, us and the various agencies. Patience Winningham is with the Oregon Emergency Management Department, OEM's Deputy Director. Patience, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Casey Keller's with us as well, Public Affairs Specialist at the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office. Welcome. Is it Cassie or Casey? I'm sorry.
It's Cassie.
Cassie, okay. I'm glad we got that straightened out. Thank you both for joining us. Patience, let's start with you. There's plenty of other emergencies Oregon can and does get, but in fire season, do those tend to get pushed somewhat out of the picture?
No, actually, we just lean in on all the things. Currently, we're working on the oil event, so the oil slick that we saw off the coast of Oregon. There's some other rumblings in the background preparing for elections. There's the H1N5, I believe, is the current thing. We have weekly briefings, so we review all the things that we should be paying attention to as a team here at OEM.
Wow, it's always a bit of a smorgasbord for you guys then, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cassie, if you would, give an assessment of Oregon's relative situation entering this fire season, both in conditions and in preparation.
Sure. Yeah, our agency is really gearing up and has geared up for fire season. We recently had a task force leader training. We have three all-hazard incident management teams that are all trained up and ready to go. Because of our new engine program, there's 76 new apparatus around the state. So everybody's really geared up and looking forward to fire season.
Let's talk about a couple of those things you just mentioned, though. The task force part of that is really interesting, too, because the fire marshal's office, I mean, the headlines tend to go to the likes of the Oregon Department of Forestry, and if it's a federal fire, then to the firefighters from the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management is protected by the state in Oregon. So what do the task forces do during big fires, for example?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our agency, we work with the Structural Fire Service. So if there's a conflagration declared, which happens when a fire is out of control and exceeds what the local fire service can do, a conflagration is declared, and then we immediately mobilize our incident management teams. Now, with some recent funding that we got from Senate Bill 762, we do have an amazing program that we can pre-position resources. If we know or we think that a wildfire incident is going to happen, we can actually send apparatus and staff on the ground to be ready, and that has really helped keep fires small and away from communities.
It was described to me once by somebody in the fire business that basically what happens with the task forces is they come in and act like a local fire department.
Correct, yes. They go in and they resume that incident management structure, and they are there to help keep people and structures and communities safe.
You mentioned the Oregon State Fire Marshal's engine program as well. Talk about what that was able to do.
Sure. Yeah, this was a really neat new program. I believe it was $25 million from 762 funds. They provided 76 fire agencies around the state with either a Type 3, a Type 6, or a water tender. And these agencies came to our new department, picked up their brand new apparatus, and they have it back at their local station. So this really helps with conflagrations, local response. It really helps keep everybody staffed up.
We're talking about fire season preparations with Cassie Keller, a public affairs specialist at the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office, and Patience Winningham, the executive or the deputy director at Oregon Emergency Management. You can join us in this live conversation by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Patience, I mean, to some degree, our communities are still smarting from and rebuilding from the 2020 fires. Were there some lessons learned then that still guide planning for fire season?
Oh, absolutely. I would just say that having been impacted from Labor Day, both as a local emergency manager at that time, but also a resident of McKenzie Bridge, there's a lot to learn from that particular event. And how do we prepare for fire season every year? We pound the drum pretty regularly about preparedness overall for Cascadia, right? The big bad day for the entire West Coast. And And I think it's important that we all remember when we live in the wildland-urban interface how to be prepared for fire season and packing a go bag. And so those are some of the things that our office, in coordination with other state partners, really amplify, especially in wildfire season and pre-wildfire season. The ice storm is obviously another opportunity for community members and our agency to lean in and support all of our citizens and our state partners in preparing for those all-hazard events. Something that I really try to amplify when I talk to community members and work with our agency is encouraging people to always be at a level one, always ready and have a bag packed and by the door or under your bed or in your car. Those are things that could be the only things you have left, right? In Labor Day fires, I got to hear from some of the community members about our opportunity to alert them and notify them of the weather system that we were going to see. The Weather Service called the unprecedented east wind event. And so we in our county notified our constituents, and a number of folks that approached me afterwards said they heeded that warning because it came from me, because I'm from the local community, and they packed a bag and that was all they actually had left because their homes burned to the ground. And that sends a message. Yeah,
Mackenzie Bridge was hard hit by was it the Holiday Fire?
That's correct. Yeah, the Holiday Farm Fire. Yeah, we lost 1,100 structures, I think was the final count, and still actively rebuilding. We lost a grocery store. We lost a community, a library, post office, and all the infrastructure, communications, and transportation routes were all compromised. Power was compromised for up to, I think, 2 weeks, and there was still a number of community members that had remained. And so they chose to remain. Some of them didn't choose. They didn't have gas or access to gas to leave the area. And so setting up a recovery center in the impacted area to support those community members that remained, you know, the elderly folks that just refused to leave.
Right.
We had to provide them, you know, hot meals and medical services. And we did that for an extended period of time, including communications. And folks don't necessarily have that opportunity to live in those environments, and the ice storm in Springfield provided, and Cottage Grove, provided those communities an opportunity to remember, to understand what it's like to live without power and live without communications capability, because it definitely stresses the system at the individual level for at your home and with your families. And so by being prepared at that most smallest level is going to be super helpful on all the systems.
Fire season preparation, the discussion point here on the Jefferson Exchange. Patience Winningham is the Deputy Director at Oregon Emergency Management. Cassie Keller is a Public Affairs Specialist with the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office. If you have questions, get them in fast to jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about what should be in the go bag, Patience.
Well, there are a lot of great things, I would have to say. Instead of taking stuff to the Goodwill, I started, you know, those pair of shoes that might not be street worthy anymore, I put those in my bag. A couple extra pairs of pants are important, you know, multiple sizes depending. Swapping things out is also important. Some food, making sure you have an evacuation plan. One thing that happened for me is I had to evacuate. I've actually had to evacuate my home a number of times in the last 5 years, and knowing where I'm going to go, which is challenging because my whole family lives in Mackenzie Bridge. So it's not like I'm going to go to my sister's house or my brother's house because they all live here. So knowing where you're going to go and telling folks where you're going to go is really important. And having a bag in your car or at the office when, again, when Labor Day happened, and also this recent ice storm, I had to go to the county Emergency Operations Center, and fortunately I had a bag there with all my toiletries, toothbrush, shampoo, a towel, some pajamas, 3 pairs of pants, and 3 shirts. But during Labor Day, I was there for 26 days, and I only had 3 shirts and 3 pairs of pants. Some money is really important. In Snowmageddon, I had the unfortunate opportunity to get to Springfield, put my debit card in the ATM machine, and the power went out, and therefore lost my debit card, had no cash. And so always having cash somewhere strategically located, even if it's a few hundred dollars in small bills, bartering is always a system. Also, making sure your gas in your car at least half full, your gas tank is half full. Is the new empty is a great model, because in a Cascadia event, we could definitely see impacts. Even in a wildfire, we could see impacts to the access to fuel.
So, Cassie Keller, you were talking about Senate Bill 762. What are some of the other things that that we haven't talked about yet that provides to help Oregon's fire preparedness?
Sure, yeah. Well, one thing that comes straight to the top of my mind is our upstaffing grant. We have our 2024, and we've had it for the past 2 years as well. This has been one of the biggest game changers. This provides extra staff through wildfire season to the local agencies, so they're ready to go. And of course, they're there to help out with wildfire season. But a fringe benefit of that is that there's more staff at these local agencies, so they are there and able to respond to their everyday calls as well.
So what is the thing that you at the fire marshal's office most want people to remember? I did notice that there were the 4th of July warnings already about if you are in a place where the fireworks are legal, be really careful with them.
Absolutely, yes. We're really talking about fireworks safety, because fireworks go on sale here in Oregon on June 23rd. But for fireworks and for overall, I think the most important thing that we want people to know your local restrictions. Fireworks equipment, before you burn, before you have a campfire, know what those restrictions and regulations are as we head into fire season. Most 70% last year of fires were human caused. So all Oregonians are our biggest asset in helping to keep our state safe.
What was the number again? 70% of fires are human caused?
70%, yep.
Okay, so don't be blaming the lightning when most of the time it isn't the lightning.
Lightning definitely causes wildfires, but humans cause more.
All right. I want to come back, patients. I guess I'm kind of stuck on the go bag here, and your admonition that half full is the new empty on your gas tank. But it seems like you could kind of cycle things through the go bag. That you mentioned different sizes, but you just sort of think of the go bag as another place to store stuff, and then you cycle things through it as food new food comes into the house, or your pant size changes or something.
Yeah, it's a great question. Something that I really started doing, we were talking about this yesterday, you know, equity and people having the ability to store food and where to store food and the money to pay for food to store. Something that I started doing recently, I don't know, about 5 years ago, is one of the food suppliers in the state of Oregon actually has freeze-dried food that's got a 25-year shelf life. And you can buy it in buckets, so big plastic buckets of 25-year shelf life food for three people, a family of three or four that could feed them for up to a week is somewhere around $50. And I started just giving those as Christmas gifts and birthday gifts, so everybody kind of knows what they're going to get from me. And in 25 years, you know, I'm probably not going to be around. It'll be someone else's problem. But at least I started to increase the preparedness and resource for my family. You can also get those in pouches and put those in your go bag. There are other like canned meats and stuff you can put in your go bag to support you or sustain you for a couple of days. This is where being a first responder or functioning in an emergency operations center, having a good cache of food and resources, you know where to go to get those, right? And you're a better resource for your community and your first responders to support them when you have those caches of resources already established and pre-positioned. I think that one of the things I'll just add quickly is our community centers are great places to really make them resilient hub models and making them more robust for food storage and resource storage. And always leaning in on them to support your communities in their worst day is important.
Oh, yes. We have been talking about community centers as resilience hubs, and that was some legislation that came out of the last session as well. So lots of things to think about as we get further into fire season, especially with the hot weather just now hitting. Patience Winningham, the OEM Deputy Director, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
And Cassie Keller from the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office, thank you as well.
Thanks. Great to be here.